My name is Gary Michelfelder. I'm an assistant professor of geology at Missouri State University in Springfield, Missouri.
Right, and so you have a poster here at the Joint Assembly meeting in Canada. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about it? What can we see here?
Okay, this is some of my new research. I focus on the magma chambers below volcanoes and the interaction of the magma in those magma chambers with the crust and how it is recording the processes of mixing of different magmas together or melting the crust in crystals. And that's what this is focusing on here, and how those processes relate to triggering of volcanic eruptions.
Where is this based?
This is in southern New Mexico in the United States.
There's an active volcano there?
It's not active. These are 35 million year old volcanic rocks that we use as an analog for what's happening in the modern volcanic systems, because we can see the volcanic rocks as well as the rocks that are crystallized in the magma chambers in the same locations. So we can see what's happening in slices of time every time there's an eruption that's taking place, but we can also see what's happening in the magma chambers and how we can relate those two back and forth together.
It's kind of an old record of a volcano, and you can go there safely because it's not bubbling or anything.
Right, right. Yeah, it records what's, you know, the whole lifespan of the volcano from the initiation of the volcanic system to the very end of the dying of the volcanic system.
Okay, and so you collected these samples in New Mexico. Can you describe a little bit how that field work is like? I mean, what does that mean?
Yeah, so what we did is we went out and spent a few weeks in the field, and we make a map, a geologic map, based on the different rock units we see. And we base the different rock units on what they look like in the field, the different minerals that we see in the field, the colors of the rocks. And then we collect samples of every one of those individual rock units that we see, and we bring them back to the lab. Mm-hmm. And that's what we spend most of our time on in the field, is sample collection for lab analysis.
So you have like a hammer?
A hammer and, you know, little sample bags that we
pull them in,
Ziploc bags and little burlap sacks that we put them in.
And then you bring them back, and then I mean, this is, and then you treat it some way?
Yeah.
What do you do with these rocks afterwards?
When we get them back to the lab, we make slides for microscopes that we can look at, and we can identify different minerals.
So how does do you take a saw and cut?
Yeah, we take a
special tools to do that?
It's almost like a tile saw, a rotor saw that we slice a very, very thin piece of the rock off, and then we polish it down to where it's basically see-through. So we can see right through it,
really? Wow.
And then we can take light and transmit light through it in the microscope, and it gives us a really great.
How big are they? I imagine that must be difficult to handle, or
they get pretty brittle. So we actually will glue them to a glass slide before we cut them really thin. We cut them about a half inch thin,
and then we
polish them. Yeah, we'll slice off little slices off at a time until we get down to about 30 microns, very, very thin. You know.
And so what's the main finding of your poster? So in the big picture, like, did you learn something new in these, that's particular to this extinguished volcano?
So this poster here is actually, I have a couple of undergraduate students who have been working on these rocks. Yeah. One of them is we're working on the whole rock, basically the chunk of rock that we pick up out in the field as a sample. And then the other student was working on the microscope slides and the chemistry of minerals in that microscope slide.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically what we were trying to figure out is just how related. We have a sequence of rocks here. Are they related to each other, or are they individual units that come from different volcanoes? Because this area has got a lot of volcanoes that have erupted over this time. There's something like 15 or 20 different volcanoes in this little area.
Okay.
And we don't know what's related to what volcano.
So you said there's a lot of different ones. Is it like, are these big ones? Or?
Yeah, these are really big ones. These are Yellowstone size volcanoes.
So okay.
Really, really big, explosive Yellowstone style eruption volcanoes.
So there's not just Yellowstone in the States that's one of these big ones, but this one in
right,
Mexico.
Right. And these
this
are, these are all.
Then? I mean, is this still a concern today that this could blow up?
These are all extinct volcanoes. These are really,
so
really
this is
old.
Really not active, not like Yellowstone, that's
right.
Kind of bubbly. Okay.
Right, right. But we use this for analogs for other volcanoes that are similar, like in the central Andes, or in Indonesia, so we can get an idea of what's taking place in the magma chamber over time to get a better understanding of what can we expect for eruption that would take place in the future.
So if I understand it right, so kind of the basic idea is you try to see how these different volumes fill up, and then eventually it will erupt, and the crystals have information about the processes and at what time it filled, at what temperatures.
Yeah, about, right? Yeah. Each mineral, when the mineral grows in the magma chamber, it records the conditions of that magma chamber. So when we have a variety of different minerals that have different chemistries, it tells us a lot about the what's happening in that magma chamber, whether we're getting magmas that are mixing together, or if it's just sitting there for a long time, or you know, if it's moving really quickly through the crust. It's all recorded in our minerals that we have in the.
And so the ultimate goal of this research is to.
The ultimate goal is to get a better understanding of what takes place beneath volcanoes that triggers eruptions.
But so kind of to have better forecasting tools.
Yeah, that we're better forecasting tools.
So, as you know, the story we're doing is related to carbon, and there is also this expression, deep carbon. Could you explain to the audience what this means?
Yeah, so carbon in volcanoes is actually a very important factor. We think of it as what we call a volatile. And volatiles are what triggers explosive volcanic eruptions versus just the oozy lava flow of volcanic eruptions. So when you have a lot of carbon in a volcanic system, if you have a composition that's right for it, you can end up getting a very explosive volcanic eruption. And the volcanoes, like where these were related to, they're from what's called a continental arc volcano. And you end up getting a lot of carbon from what we call a subduction zone as a result of the oceanic crust being subducted beneath the continental crust. And as it does, it releases all these volatiles, water, carbon dioxide, as that subduction is taking that oceanic crust down into the mantle, it changes the composition of that crust, and it releases all these volatiles. That will actually melt the mantle.
Yeah.
And provide magma for the volcanic eruptions to take place.
So kind of the carbon gets trapped in the ocean, settles down, gets tucked under the rug, kind of, and then eventually comes back out.
Right,
and it's much deeper than, I guess, than the normal carbon we think about is the one in the soil and in the air.
Right, yeah.
So that's why it's called deep carbon.
Right.
Well, so then change of topic a bit. So how did you pick this field? How did you get into volcano research?
I got into this field when I was an undergraduate student and seeing Mount St. Helens, the news coverage of Mount St. Helens in 2004 and 2008. And, you know, I was an undergraduate student actually studying volcanic rocks for the class I was in.
Yeah.
And it just was incredibly interesting to me to see everything that was happening with it. And then I realized that there was all these volcanic systems in the United States. Mainly New Mexico. I actually went back and did a master's thesis in New Mexico because I was really interested in volcanic rocks that were there. Yeah. And that's really what got me into it was Mount St. Helens. And then just learning more about it over my education.
So what's your favorite volcano?
Well, Mount St. Helens has a very special place in my memory. So that's high on the list. But probably the volcano I worked on for my dissertation is probably my favorite. It's called Cerro Itarunku in southwestern Bolivia. And it's the volcano that I call my volcano because I know the entire history of that volcano. Yeah. I worked on it really extensively trying to get an idea of the plumbing system or the magma chamber system beneath the volcano and looking at it in terms of what it could potentially do in the future. It hasn't erupted in at least 100 million years or 100,000 years, but it's still showing some signs of activity for some of these big style of eruptions, like a Yellowstone style of eruption in the future. And we are interested in it because it's showing a 70 kilometer diameter deformation field, which is really big. That's about the same size as Yellowstone.
Miles or so down.
Yeah, that's about the same size as the Yellowstone caldera is. And we wanted to know, is this precursor activity to a future eruption in the Central Andes.
Oh, okay. And have you ever been on an active volcano?
Actually, I have. It was by chance. I went to a professional meeting in Kagoshima, Japan, in 2013, and the volcano there, Sakurajima, erupted while we were at the meeting.
Wow! How was that? Were you scared?
It was exciting.
Yeah.
We weren't that close to where, you know, it was really a dangerous situation. But
what can you hear or feel? Can you try to describe that?
It's extremely loud, and the energy that's being put out in the ash that's being put out, it just darkens the sky, even when there's just a little small.
Was this
small
one also
explosion.
Spitting out the lava?
It wasn't spitting out lava. It was just a little bit of ash and some small eruption, small explosions.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was, it was extremely exciting. And I was there with a group of volcanologists from the meeting, and we were on a field trip when it happened. And the excitement from everybody, it's a huge adrenaline rush. You just see people running towards it, trying to get as many pictures as they can. get their video cameras out, filming it.
Yeah.
It was just really exciting. To
be
that
close.
Kids in the toy store. That's exactly what it was.